My orchestra's pretty good, don't you think? Whatever. Welcome to the King's Chapel. They're playing me in, but I have to make a sad announcement. I suspect most of you know, but one of the most wonderful young ladies associated with our church through MOPS, her mom's lost her husband this week. I think Christy Wiggins, Kristen Wiggins, and her husband Scott just died in the evening. Is that a good way to say it? This is her best friend down here, Jackie Howland. So if you just pray for Kristen, we're going to have a service here at 11 a.m. on Tuesday. We're still putting it together rapidly. There are family members here, and Jackie's here from Guam, and so I've heard nothing but loving statements about this man and his life, but he has three children and a wife left here, so I think there a measure of weeping is appropriate and just loving support. So that's kind of the goal. Sorry to tell you that. It's kind of what this is all about, however. It's about eternity. It's not about this 70 or 80, or as the scripture says, perhaps 80 years we get, 70 or 80, in some cases 90, yes, I know. But how do we live this life, number one? And number two, the eternity stretching before us, eons. What is that like? And what is really important when you sort everything out? Today, our teaching is from Dr. Rick Warren, and it is called You Are Called to Belong. And you're called to belong to an eternal institution, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has formed you, as you'll see up there on the board, for His family. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through our Lord Jesus Christ. What on earth are you here for? You're called to belong to God's family. God doesn't intend you to live your life alone. We're not made to be a street gang casting about or like Oliver Twist in some strange environment where we're all alone and we sing with little confused children and or tattoo ourselves up to be members of a gang to belong to something. You were made to belong. You were made to belong to someone. It is in your DNA. It is the nature that God put in you. And there are healthy places to belong, and there are extremely unhealthy places. Our goal and objective is to have this be a healthy place, and that is by leaning on the everlasting arms, the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about the calling in the church, that we're called to be loved, and you are loved by God, and He so loved this world that He gave His life for it. So He's demonstrated His love in a very practical way. So this morning, we're going to not simply talk about love, but the purpose of our life, and that is that God has formed us for His family. In Ephesians 1:5, it says His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ, adoption. And then in 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15, I'm writing you, the Apostle Paul said, to his son in the Lord. Interesting how he used that with Timothy. He talked about brothers in Christ, son in the Lord, because there is a family that doesn't just last a short period of time in life, that doesn't break up. It's called the church, and it one day will be in a new heavens and a new earth, and we'll have new resurrected bodies, and we'll be like our Lord and Savior, and we'll be together forever. We're God's forever family. I am writing to you so you will know how to live in the family of God. That family is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of the truth. And we are called to belong to His church. So now you're no longer visitors or strangers. Now you are citizens together with God's holy people. You belong to God's family. This longing is universal. Romans 1:16-6 puts it this way. You are among those who have been called. You are made for. It is God's purpose that you belong to Jesus Christ. Actually, the word ekklesia, the Greek there, means you're called out. This is what you were formed for. Church isn't an event. It's not just going to a building or some gathering somewhere. No. The Church of Jesus Christ is the people of God in its entirety. It is literally the body of Christ, and it's made up of many members. It's not simply a relationship, not simply a connection, not simply an association or a covenant, but it's all of those and much more. And the benefits of belonging are you become a part of five metaphors, five figures of speech. You're a family. You're a temple. You're a body. You're a flock. And you're a garden. And to start with, in a healthy family, you know who you are. In God's family, point one here, I learn my true identity. I was with Kirk Kuykendall at American University yesterday. He was kind enough to invite me to a game. And you go into the hall there and you see his picture up on the wall in the Hall of Fame, and you see his son Sean there too. They were both incredible soccer players and honored by that school. Their identity is there, their sport was there, their picture is there, but we go to get our ticket, and Kurt announces that, there's no criticism of my brother, the thing is he announces that, you know, that he's up there on the wall, the Hall of Fame. And they said, do you have your $5 or $6? He said, no, they have tickets here for me, and nobody was aware of it. Nobody knew anything about his Hall of Fameness or the thing that was up on the wall. It was transitory. His identity in that era, as one of America's foremost soccer players, had vanished. And all a young lady saw before her was a, shall we say, mature man. Now here's the deal about Kurt Kuykendall and so many of you. Your identity is not just being a fan of the Vikings or wearing the Liverpool shirt for the soccer people among us, or even being a United States Marine or a child of a father that was famous. No, all those last this long. What lasts forever is being a child of God. And what lasts and works and is real right here is being part of his family. Some of us leaned on our family relationships. In this regard, if you're from Scotland, you have a certain plaid you wear. It's part of your identity. In the body of Christ, we don't have a plaid we wear, and we don't have gang tattoos on us. What we have is an entrance to a family through the death and the symbol of baptism, and then the follow-up of a resurrection, the assurance from God in this event that our sins are forgiven, number one, and number two, we've been born again entirely, and we're part of a family that doesn't walk out on us. We're in a marriage that's good to go forever. I can play the game two ways. I can talk to you about famous people in my family. It makes me feel good. There's an identity there. Great. Great, Bill. Do you tell them about the alcoholic abuser that drove your family out of the country? Do you tell them that one? So which am I? Which is my identity? Some of us don't even know our fathers. Tragic. We don't know. We don't know what our identity is. We didn't do real well in school. We were abused, something bad happened to us, and that identifies us. We stand up someplace and say, I'm Bill Jeske, and I'm a drug addict, let's say. And God bless you for the humility in stating that, and I know what that's about, and it's wondrous. It really goes from there to, and Christ is changing me from the inside out if you're a believer and a recovering addict. But here's your identity. I'm Bill Jeske, and I'm a child of God, saved purely by his grace. And yes, I struggle with fill in the blank. But I am a reflection of his grace and a trophy, yea, is right, of his enormous gift of life given to a dead man. In God's family, we learn our true identity, and if all of our connections are broken or battered, if a spouse has walked out, you know, a lot of people, when a spouse walks out or dies, they don't know who they are anymore. We were so tied to the person, and I love that. But to some degree, some of our families are dysfunctional or non-existent. But here's what Jesus and the Word of God says. You are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. And that's a household where you're secure. It's a household that you belong to. It's a household where it doesn't matter what everybody says about you or puts you down or a negative family does whatever or a negative school situation or whatever. The meditation should be, I am Jesus' kid. I'm his. And no one can take that away from me. This family we have on earth is important, but it's not permanent. And it won't last forever. Our natural family. We have so many identifiers. I don't really want to go over them. They wear me out. But let's just use, I'm freckled, I'm white, I'm black, I have straight hair, I have curly hair, I have whatever. Really? Really? Is that all we are? Aren't we something much more? We're children of the living God. And we are filled with all the potential of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if it means our death, we come to bring life to a dying world. We come to be resurrected with Christ and then be out in the vineyard reaching people for him with the love that he had. And they cannot take your self-esteem away from you. I don't care what your background is, what your race is, what your hair color is. Jesus Christ is in you. Loves you, and you're part of his family, and it's permanent. What matters most is our spiritual identity. Jesus and the people he makes holy all belong to the same family, it says in Hebrews. That is why he isn't ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Don't answer this question. Are some of you ashamed of your brothers and sisters? Don't answer. It's actually quite a deep question. And for some, it brings up feelings of pain and disappointment with ourselves. But we're part of Christ's family. That's the thing. And our sins are not our identity. By belonging to Christ's family, we have a true identity. Secondly, we're part of a temple. We as a people are like a building erected for the glory of God. We are the church of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and his spirit dwells in you? You know, I got to watch this building go up and it needed every piece and every part. If a pipe is too short, it doesn't make a connection. I just had someone come in today to tell me about putting in a dishwasher, and they got certain things going, and they'd covered over the hot water, a thing that controlled the putting it in, so the work was all wasted. They needed a process, and they needed the right parts. A beam in a building, a half inch too short, and the whole thing comes apart. A pipe 1 inch too short can't connect to be strong and stable. Everything has to connect. A piece of pipe can be in a building, but not a part of it. Are you in a building, but not a part of it? You're not a part until you're connected, and God wants you to connect with his church in some way. Those of you who know me privately, I try to be a man of integrity. I'm imperfect. We don't reach out to people at other churches at all. Zero. We're interested in the lost and winning them at any cost. That's what we're about. But we know people get stronger in connection with one another. Even your hurts, your habits, your hang-ups, your sins, your former brokenness, and your continuing progressive positive journey can be used by the Lord to help other people that are going through what you're going through. Nothing like a guy who's been given the grace of God to defeat an addiction, to talk to others with addiction, and to show them a pathway out of it. There are a lot of spare parts lying around in buildings, but they need to be connected for growth. They need to be apart, and then they hold each other together. In God's temple, in His church, I am supported by others. In Christ, Ephesians 2, 21 through 22 says, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling which God lives in by His Spirit. Without connectivity, the thing collapses. You weren't meant to go through life unsupported and unloved and disconnected. You need spiritual, emotional, and physical support. I am an expert on Legos. I had 9 children, you know that, and they built things. They built pirate ships, and they built all kinds of strange things, and if they put them together and connected them just right, they were beautiful. But I'm telling you, when it's a little dark in the room, and you're walking through the room, and a little piece is out, and it jams into your foot, that really hurts. Has that happened to anyone but me? Don't raise your hand, but I know it has. Come on, tell the truth. In a sense, there's a kind of a sorrow and a tragedy to someone just being out there somewhere. Where are you connected? Do you have some friends in the church? This is not our only thing, to do the top ops, to pray for those around us, and then to gather together in small groups, but it's part of being connected. And we are better together. We really are. There's an epidemic in our world, and I think in Northern Virginia, I think we're special that way, of loneliness. When we went door to door in the beginnings of this church and took some surveys, the main thing was people don't know each other. I walked through my neighborhood. There are wonderful, amazing people there. Silent. Walking with their headphones on. They don't know anyone. I live in an apartment building. Hardly anyone knows anyone. We're making a difference. Melanie's handing out her books, and we're being crazy, and I talk loud, and so I'm a connector. God made me this way. It's His Spirit doing it. But loneliness is a huge issue in America and certainly in Northern Virginia. How do we connect up? How do we find people to love in the body of Christ? And then as we grow and get better, we can spread the good news to others. The third metaphor about what we've done, we've talked about this, is we're a body. I'm not going to spend much time on it. We're a body. We're holding together. Okay. They want me to use this. We're held together by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need each other. My family has been beset with numerous operations lately. A new knee for my wife, a new appendix for my wife, a new appendix for my son. This goes on and on. It's stunning. It's been just in a few weeks almost, or a couple months. And when they have a part of their body off, it hurts. And they're weakened. We need each other. Just as there are many parts to our body, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. For we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each of us needs each other. There are attorneys here. We need them. There are salespeople here. We need them. There are those that are administratively gifted. I'm helpless without them. There are teachers. There are coaches. There are moms. And there are friends. And these people are the people who walk in when everybody else walks out. They walk in. That's what a Christian does. They walk in when everyone else walks out. A body has many parts. They're different and unique. Everyone is needed. We each have a role to do, something we are made for uniquely. We belong to each other. We belong to each other. And we all need each other. What good is an eyeball or an ear detached from the body lying over in a corner somewhere? If your foot says, it says in 1 Corinthians, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if your ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm only an ear and not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? No.
It's so ironic in a game, baseball, soccer, I know everything. I was an obsessive as a kid, don't want to get into this. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, I think the most important player on a baseball team, it's two, it's the pitcher, okay, but the catcher. Now, this is normally some stocky fire plug of a human being with all kinds of scar tissue who's been knocked about and hit with baseball bats. That's not the guy you would have star in a TV show, okay? But he's the glue that holds the whole thing together. Saying, you know, the kid that they pay the most for in soccer? It's the goalkeeper in the back. Not that much glory to the position, but he brings something that no one else can bring because of the unique nature of who he is. Guess what? You're unique. You have something to bring the body of Christ that is unusual and different and important and potent. Never confuse prominence with significance. What I do up here, I'm not going to say it's easy. It's not easy. And it's what I'm made for. But you're made for something. And standing up in front of people may not be it. In fact, for your sake, I hope it's not it. You were made for something. And you need to have a whispered conversation with the Lord in prayer and listen for his voice and say, what do I do? What do I want? What do you want me to be? Melanie's name means, in a sense, ink. What she basically does as a human being in God's providence and plan is writes things. Think about that. Her name is Ink. Hardly any of you probably know her, in a sense. She's such a quiet person here. I got that. But her name is Ink. What she brings is ink to life. And it's beautiful ink. In Christ's body, never confuse prominence with significance. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. The fourth metaphor is we're a flock of sheep. And for some, I know, you know, well, this area doesn't know it so well, but I'm told that sheep aren't the brightest. And they're very dependent. They need a shepherd. They need leadership. Well, we're like that. I need it every day, don't you? What decision do I make? Where do I go? What job do I take? What do I do with Johnny? He's acting up. He's acting crazy. I can't control him. What do I do, Lord? My sheep hear my voice, and another they will not follow. I know my own, and my own know me, Jesus said. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You're part of his flock. He loves you, and he wants to care for you. That's what you can get in a healthy church. Not dependency forever, but a proper connectivity and a sense of security because someone out there is looking out for you. It may be a pastor. More often in this church, it's going to be a home group leader, your small group. It's going to be somebody that's right next door that's rubbing up against you shoulder to shoulder in the battle that you're going through. God made us, it says in Psalm 100.3, God made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Jesus cares for his people. Why did God choose a bunch of sheep? Because a basic and fundamental human need is to be secure and to feel cared for. And when a family comes apart, some people walk away. We're the people that walk in. It makes us in life more confident and less anxious. You need to be part of the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially when you've experienced a death in the family, when your marriage is strained, when someone walks out on you, you're facing a personal crisis. There are a couple of people, we know what they have to do. I'm one of them. And it's tough, pastors, shepherd types. But there's kind of a gifting in the body of Christ. It's not just one man's. There are a lot of fathers and mothers in the Lord Jesus. In fact, gift studies say that's the primary gift that's out there, granted by God among you. People that look out and care about you. Sonia Spangenberg came to me one day and she'd just done a beautiful job in one situation, and you could just see the mother's heart in her. I don't know if Sonia's here today, but the point is, You were made for something, and you have a place in the body of Christ. And if it's pastoral, you'll find yourself protecting and caring for the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take care of God's flock. 1 Peter 5:2 says, his people, that you are responsible for. Watch over them because you want to, not because you're forced to do it. And then Hebrews 13:17. This is a tough one. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Okay, yeah, that's a tremendous possibility of abuse here. Do what they say. Submit to your leaders. Submit to your elders is what it says in certain translations. Really? I don't submit to anyone. I'm independent. I'm strong. Really? Let's finish this. Their work is to watch over your souls. And they know, I like the ESV, they will have to give account to God for their stewardship. One day I'm going to have to stand before him, and I know that he loves me, but it is a scary thought to think that I would hurt, let down, or be a terrible example to the body of Christ. There is a weighty judgment for teachers. You know that if you know what the scripture said. Let not many of you teach, brethren, for those who teach will have a stricter judgment. And yet, we bring something to you, and when an elder says, stop that behavior, it's destructive to your life. Ask God for grace to help you. You want to listen with all your heart, because he's there as a shepherd caring for the sheep to watch over your souls. Small groups look out for you. Share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way obey the law of Christ. There are something like 58 one another's in the, I think it's in the New Testament. 58 times they'll love one another, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It goes on and on and on. We need each other. There are times where it just breaks down. Half the time, the best thing we can do is just listen. Because there is healing in confessing to other people the anxieties, the sins, the hurts, the hang-ups we have. God will use every one of your hurts, mistakes, and sins to help other people. As you slowly but surely come out of the cave of your own sad, sorry life, we can guide other people out to the light in an excited, positive, wondrous way. The fifth metaphor of the church is a garden, a vineyard, and I love this one. It's an organic metaphor. It shows how we grow. Now, there are some in the church that will love this. Jesus Christ said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you're in him, linked to him, connected to the vine organically, if you're part of his garden, you will bear fruit. You can't help but bear fruit because it's not really your fruit, it's his fruit being born in you. Now, the real significance and productivity, which is a basic human need, comes out of a linkage with the Lord. That's where it comes from. I think any success we have that means anything in life comes from tapping into the source. Apart from me, you can do nothing, but I can do all things through him who dwells in me. A garden. We grow and become fruitful. Jesus said, I am the true vine. There's a lot of vines out here. People tell you all kinds of things. He says, I am the vine. You, my Father is the gardener, and you are the branches. In God's garden, your life becomes productive. You're able to make contributions. God brings life through your life if you're tapped into him. A branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Cut a branch off a tree, put it out somewhere, no apples are coming from it. But connected, life-giving energy comes through it. Life-giving energy. What has he called you for? Part of what is a fundamental need in you is productivity. Tell me the thought hasn't come to you in your life, how can I make my life count for something? I'm convinced half of the problems in America right now are coming out of a non-linkage with the vine. People are out there going, I want my life to count. I'll shake my fist in the face of authority. I'll fight off anything. They'll identify with groups that they shouldn't identify with. Name a color. It's insignificant. It's immaterial. The issue is if you're disconnected with the vine and you have a desire to be productive in your life, what do? You just cast about looking. You look for a leader. Here's the leader to follow. Here's what we find in the garden. The best gardener ever. And also he has a plan for our life. Blessed are you when you do this. Forgive people their sins. Speak to one another of psalms and hymns and holy writings. Love one another as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for him. Bear fruit that befits repentance. And then let the life of the gardener flow through you. What we all need to fulfill our calling in life, and I'm going to conclude with this. We need an identity in Christ. We need the stability of connectivity. Are you connected with the church? We need capacity. We need a place and a people to grow with and to know what we're made for and do that thing. We need to be secure, and we find that under the careful and tender ministrations of the Good Shepherd. And finally, we long to be productive, to make our life count. We need power to live on, people to live with, principles to live by, a plan to live out, and a purpose to live for. And if you're like me and have done construction, taken out the trash, and done the mundane things in life, you don't see the purpose to that unless you're tied into the vine. And then he can make even the mundane glorious. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, make us a part of the vine, that we might bear fruit. Make us a part of the temple, that we might be connected to one another. Make us a part of your flock, where you tenderly care for us. We need you so much, Lord. Garden us, take out the weeds, and bring forth the flower. Lord, these are your people. If there's one person here who is not in Jesus Christ, they have the courage in their heart right now to just admit they're a sinner. And it's pretty bad. But believe that Christ is a Savior. Believe it. And then follow. Choose to follow him. He's the only Savior. If that's your desire, just lift the hand of your heart. Say, Christ, come into my life. Cleanse me of my sin. Baptize me in the power of your Holy Spirit. And bring forth the fruit that only you can. If you pray that prayer, you've entered into his community, into his life. And we sign the document with this beautiful death and burial and baptism. We tell the world that we belong to Jesus.
Thank you, Bill.